Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, August 14th, 2018. Our guest tonight, LVMS Superstock driver Chuck DiGuevara.
That's right.
Am I saying that right?
That's right, exactly.
Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it. Pleasure's all mine.
Hosting tonight, along with myself, I don't know what to call you, Justin Stiller. Justin Griffiths. We're still trying to find a nickname for him, so...
I think a lot of people have nicknames for me. I've called him a couple of things.
Yes, we all have. We're just trying to see which one sticks.
Yeah, Mike. Mostly called him his brother.
There you go. Soon to be father of twins this week.
This week? This could be my last show for a couple of weeks.
Oh, no, you're coming in. You just bring the babies in. You're welcome. Of course, hosting tonight also, the man on a mission.
How you guys doing?
You're going to push that crying button, but you didn't want to do it with you on it.
No. How are you guys doing?
Gary,
thanks for coming in, Chuck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Justin, this is for you.
I'm going to cry and button out.
We need to put that in stereo for him, though.
Yes, we do.
Twice the fun.
That's right.
You nervous or what?
More excited yet.
Yeah, is it hitting you yet?
Yeah, it's hitting me. Yeah. Within like 3 days, it
happened. The rest of us have been there already, so it's old news to us.
Yeah.
As
soon as I get, hey, it's time, and I see two baby boys pop out, I'm like, uh-oh, what did I just do?
You got Facebook Live the whole thing, or what?
I told her that you guys want to do if it happens on a Tuesday, we're doing the show live from the hospital.
And she just laughed.
So
she should have just said no.
Right. So that's a go ahead.
She didn't
say
no.
She didn't say no. You know what men do when the wives don't say no? That's a yes.
Yeah, I got my brother-in-law Alan Thornton out in New Zealand watching. I got
down under
looking.
Well, appreciate you joining us and your Facebook Living, I guess, too.
Alan, he races drag bikes down in New Zealand. He's a multi-time NZDRA champion.
Wow.
for racing drag bikes down there.
That's cool, man.
Got it in the family all the way down in New Zealand.
All right. Hey, maybe we need to go watch him.
Can we have him come into the show sometime?
I'm sure he'd come
in. Studio.
Yeah, that's a long trip.
I tell you what, we'll go to him.
I was going to say, we'll
broadcast live from the track he's racing at.
That's right.
That's interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah, I got family all the way down there. I've got my Bando drivers back in New York.
All over the place.
They're down there. I got people back in Charlotte. I just had a young man, Gary and I were talking about it earlier, calling me from Lansing, Michigan to come down and run one of my Bandos down here. So I got people everywhere.
That is really cool.
As you know, we talk more off air than on air.
I know. We don't have to talk about it on air. We already talked about everything.
What we were talking about on air, I don't think anybody else wanted to know about it.
Off. Yeah, that means off air. Right?
Yeah, off air stuff. Yeah.
So, speaking of New Zealand, is that something, and hope you don't mind us going that direction real quick, the racing down there, is auto racing big or bike racing bigger or drag racing more? Do they have circle track stuff? I know I've seen some pretty extreme circle track stuff, like cage stuff where they're supposed to run into each other, and I forget what those are called. But
I went down there. Those are those slam cars. They actually went down there. I surprised my sister, who obviously lives there, my brother-in-law, and I went down there last year. Right in the beginning of December, and I said, I've got to go to one of these events while I'm there. And they actually took a group of guys from Australia against these New Zealand, these Kiwis against these Australians, and they literally went out there and ran this event with these cars, and they actually have rub rails on them all the way around these cars.
Wow.
And these rub rails look like the karting cars you would run out here, you know, similar to pole position cars. And these guys literally just hammer each other. I mean, you could be sitting dead still on the racetrack and a guy will come at you at 60 and just topple you. I mean, they just don't care.
And I think ideally they're trying to get you to roll over or flip or something.
They're trying to get you not to win the event. I mean, they literally got somebody who's trying to take off and go become, you know, run the number of laps, I guess,
so
they're supposed to do. It was crazy to watch.
It's similar to the racing we have out at the Bullring sometimes.
It's identical.
It's identical to that.
I thought we were talking about the Bombers.
Yeah, we're talking about Bombers. That's what it is. I mean, they had midgets out there. They ran regular midgets out there.
Wow.
Ford Focus midgets. They ran those. They ran the, you know, so a stock car, which was fascinating because they did run the same direction that we run.
I was going to ask that.
For two main events. Now, they run twin main events in like a bomber car out there. It's left-hand drive, you know, just like they run back there. You know, you're on the wrong side of the car. Right-hand drive going one way. I should say right-hand drive. And then their one main event, they'll run one way.
Huh.
Then the other main event, they run the other way.
Wow.
So we need to talk to Tim. Let's think that.
What they did was they eliminated the they actually eliminate the opportunity for you to have the ultimate setup in one direction.
Wow. Yeah,
so you had to have your car balanced in both directions.
Now, is this an asphalt track or a dirt track?
It was
okay.
On dirt. But it was fascinating.
But
you need to get a right-hand drive.
Well, I think this is roll a dice or pick out of a hat. Which direction are we running tonight?
Yeah.
No, it's that's
an interesting
concept.
They ran
both. They ran two main events. They ran twin main events out there, 20 laps apiece, and they ran one direction, and then they turned around and ran the other direction.
Interesting.
So it was pretty fun. It was fun to watch.
Did you know what was going on while they were doing all this? Did they explain it well?
My sister sort of explained it a little bit to me. Alan,
it's not like you're used to. And
yeah, it was a little different. And there was really no grandstands. It was basically a dirt hole cut out in the middle of this farmland.
Interesting.
And then you just sat on the banking, and then there was literally a 6x6 piece of lumber that you sat on. If you wanted to sit on a bench, you bring your own stuff. You sat along and the people bring what they call their caravans, which is their food trucks or food wagons out there, and they parked them along the grass. And
that's cool. And
you paid a fee to get in. It was interesting to watch.
That is really cool.
Very fascinating. But yeah, but my brother-in-law, he rides drag bikes, so they do have a lot of drag racing out there. They do have a lot of
And those are obviously the big events. Like we have the NHRA here. They have something similar.
Yeah, it's
I
the New Zealand
there.
Drag Racing Association. Okay. Like I said, he's won the championship out there for a stock bike, modified bike, and
What brands are we talking about? They do a lot of Japanese brands or American brands?
My brother-in-law runs Kawasaki.
Okay.
He runs for Kawasaki. He actually has a Kawasaki, sponsorship or associate sponsorship. He also runs for Castrol out there. So he's got himself a pretty big following when he runs around out there. Everybody knows who Alan Thornton is in New Zealand.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to throw that name around when we're out there.
yeah.
That's the guy we're looking for.
Yeah, we're looking for him. This guy.
We're looking
to find
Alan,
him.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah. Everybody's looking for Alan.
Tim Asring wants to know where your overalls are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have worn those. Hey, Timmy, I'm sorry.
Is that something you normally wear? I mean, I'm out of the loop on that. So.
Let's clear this up.
I want to know about these overalls.
About 3 years ago, I started wearing overalls. I saw a Sonny Wall wear Sarah coveralls out there, these overalls, and I thought, well, shoot, man. He can be bent over around a race car and not have his ass hanging out. And I thought, well, shoot, I'm good with that. That would have got me a pair to match. And I started wearing these just because I'm not tired of having my ass hanging out. So I went ahead and started wearing those things, and I've been wearing them ever since. And pretty much people have recognized me through my coveralls ever since. And it's only been 2 or 3 years that I've been wearing them.
No kidding.
I actually wear them just for the racetrack, just to keep.
So that's you out there. I've seen you from behind. So. No ass crack showing.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's a plus.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
I was quite pleased not to see ass crack.
Thank you. But yeah, that's what it was. It was literally the ass crack.
That's funny.
Cover up is what it was. And
the big cover up.
Okay, look. I'm 6'2" and I'm working on bandos.
Right. You're bending way over.
That's
true.
Worked out on a super late, and I could only bend over a little bit. I had to be way over on that.
Funny.
So that was the reason I got, that was the reason I got those things. I thought, well, that's a good idea.
Well, that's a good story.
Which one was it, Charlie or
Sonny?
Sonny.
Sonny.
Signing, so kudos to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but thanks.
Well, yeah, from the sunny side.
I mean, 40 plus years of racing, and you just came up with that idea?
Yeah. I know. The rest of the time, my ass has been hanging out. Well, actually, I've been
well, think about it. He's the only one out there doing this out of all the years of racing guys out there.
Yeah, I thought about that. I'm going to keep my ass covered, so I'm good with that. So,
that's one way to cover your ass.
We keep going.
All right, we'll stop there.
Yeah.
So appreciate the New Zealand information. That's something that,
we'll look forward to
when we go. But let's talk about Chuck DiGuevara. Where did you start your racing? Are you from Vegas?
I started racing in the 70s back in Ascot Park in California.
Okay. You're from Cal?
So I started doing
Gary,
that back in the 70s.
You got the alliances here.
Yeah, I started on dirt and I ran dirt
Ascot.
Cars. Yeah, I ran dirt cars on the half mile. I ran the quarter mile at Ascot Park. I ran.
So how did you get into it?
Hold on. Let's go back.
All right.
Corona Raceway?
I ran Corona for years.
We just talked about that.
I was going there when I was 10 years old.
I'm from
Riverside.
But you'll have recognized my car. I used to run a black 57 Chevrolet, and there was only one other 57 that ran it. There was a blue one. I ran a 57 Chevy that was black number 26.
Wow.
We ran that on the oval out there for years. Then we ran a couple of figure eight races out there. I ran El Centro. El Cajon a couple of times, but the people at El Cajon didn't care for you too much.
Yeah.
Really? They didn't like
that
outside.
Yeah, they didn't like that. Oh, no, they didn't like that at all.
Corona's where my buddy up there, Barefoot Billy, started.
Barefoot Billy.
Yep, that's my buddy up there.
I know
there.
Billy. He's ran out at Orange Show when I ran out. Yeah. He still runs figure eight out at Orange Show.
Not no more. He's retired.
He was out there just last year when I was out there with my band.
Yeah, he's ill now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not
too
doing
bad.
Too good,
yeah. Yeah, Barefoot Billy. He's truly ran
everywhere. Yep.
Really.
Yep.
Anywhere there's a dangerous race,
they,
is there.
No, as a matter of fact, like he races his car barefooted,
right.
And in Irwindale, because you have to have shoes on, he would just put his racing shoes on his feet, so they say, "Hey, your feet's covered."
That's funny.
But then. During the autograph session, he would get out barefooted.
That's crazy.
He owned one pair of shoes, and that was his race shoes that he barely wore.
Yeah, he was mandated.
Yeah.
He just put them on when he was in the car.
Yep.
I know that at the end, when he was running Orange Show and I saw him last, he actually had a pair of shoes actually tied to his feet. They were literally on. Because
I've never seen him tied.
Yeah, he's actually had them laced up, and he had them on his feet. That was the last time I saw him on Orange Show last year when we ran our bandos out there.
That's pretty crazy.
He's not doing well now. So.
I didn't know that, but because I haven't been to Orange Show this year at all. I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, just through the grapevine.
Through the grapevine.
How it is.
Sure.
So was that the first track you've ever raced at is Ascot? Or
how did
I mean, you didn't just show up at the track one day and start racing.
No,
so tell us how you got into that.
I was born into this racing thing. My dad raced.
Did he? In California?
Yeah, my dad raced 605 in the old Legion Speedway and Western Speedway way back in the old days.
He used to go watch
605 Speedway. I'm sure a few of the older people.
So how old were you when you first went to the track? Were you?
I was sneaking in the racetrack when I was 12 or 13 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell none of them kids now.
I sneak in today. I won't tell what track. No.
There's a ravine behind Ascot Park, and if you went along the ravine and walked along the rocks, you could actually go over the little ravine fence and then wait for the security to pass by.
Oh, you got to time it just right.
That's
funny.
Was it your
friends or just yourself?
No, it was a whole bunch of us. We would have to go up in little groups, two at a time.
Can you guys go?
It was like a jailbreak. We had to get out two at a time. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we did that. We did that for years.
What was your favorite division back then? Do you remember your
sprint cars? That's what we did. We snuck into the sprint cars. We were racing on Sunday nights.
Wow.
We used to go to the sprint cars on Saturday nights. Well, finally, the racetrack got tired of me sneaking in and kicking me out. Okay, so they started giving me free passes to go in the grandstand so I wouldn't have to keep getting caught in the pit.
Wow, that's,
so
pretty,
that's a good idea,
I guess.
Yeah, then I started working there. I started helping out when I was 16. I started doing motocross setup and working with the water truck
For the track itself.
Yeah, for the track itself.
No kidding.
And then I started.
That's really cool.
Then I started learning. They started teaching me how to use the grader and
so you learned a little bit
about
track prep and all that.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I learned from one of the best guys in the country.
No
I mean,
kidding.
He was Frank. Frank was the original guy who
wow.
worked at Ascot Park for his whole life, and he taught me all about how to water, how to grade, how to cut the racetracks,
kidding.
How to how to work the track so it didn't get all the holes and dips in it for those sprint cars. And he taught me that for a couple of years.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was. I spent a lot of time there learning that stuff. Every during Thursday nights, we'd be out there working. We'd set up the motocross course.
Wow.
They used to run the TT races over the steeple, over the hill at Ascot Park. I've been doing this my whole life. So
wow.
when I finally got legally old enough to race cars, I took my dad's car away from him, which was the 57 that he had built for himself, and I went racing.
Did he give it up
willfully? No. No, he did not. He actually did not give it up willfully. He actually ended up, he told me I could run here, run there when I didn't feel like it.
So when you first, what was your first memory of getting in that car? Was it, that was the first car you ever raced, I guess, on
Yeah, and back then we were on the half mile. So my first memory of going around that racetrack was just driving it down into turn one and you were getting it.
Are you talking like
you were
back in the day, like open face helmets and stuff, or do they have a
no
leather helmet? No.
I had a motorcycle helmet, actually.
Right. Back then it was probably motorcycle helmet.
I had a motorcycle helmet. As long as it was a DOT helmet, that's all you had to
run.
Right. You didn't have to run anything
else. And no race suit maybe back then?
Well,
or did they require that?
I heard
different stories.
You had to have a driving suit. You didn't have to have a flame suit.
A driving suit, okay.
Yeah, you had to have a driving
that's
suit.
That's funny.
So it was, and you had to wear white pants in the pits.
Really?
Every person.
Wonder why that.
Was
there a reason?
Visibility.
Is that what it is?
Visibility.
I haven't heard that. I didn't know that.
Back in the old school days, if you go look at any old.
Everybody's
school
in white. Now that you say that, that is true. I can.
That was
that.
You had to have white pants to be in the pits.
That's
and
pretty funny.
So it was,
I didn't realize.
Yeah, it was required. You couldn't go in the back gate in a pair of blue jeans or a pair of cutoffs. So you wasn't allowed. Your ass wasn't going in the door.
That's
the
it makes sense because we all drove through the pits and you see how dark it is in there sometimes, especially in Pahrump where there's barely any lights in those pits. And
yeah.
You go flying through there
right.
and it's all dusty and
mm-hmm.
it makes sense.
Yeah, the white pants was a mandated thing over there in the dirt track days. So that was the same way at Corona. It was the same way at El Cajon. It was the same way at Saugus. I mean,
right.
back
I
everybody
Saugus.
Had to be in white.
I used to go watch Saugus.
Yeah, I ran Saugus a couple of times and decided that ain't going to work for me. I was done with that racetrack. I tried that. That was nope. I was let the Hornadays and those guys play with that stuff.
Right.
You know, I was done with that.
So on that half mile track, when you raced, were there a lot of veteran drivers that you were racing against, like your dad's friends and competition or
no? By the time I got involved in it, most of the older guys had already left. There was a few guys out there that ran the cars that were semi veterans, you know. But then
how'd you do on the first race? Did you figure out that hey, this is a lot harder than it looked? Or?
Yeah, you know, everybody thinks it's easy. So
right.
yeah, it was harder than it looked. So there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it was they have. Doing that kind of racing was more of a horsepower event.
Really?
Well, it really did come down to like anything on the half mile. Irwindale's that way. Irwindale, if you don't have power, you're just not going to run up front. So it was more of a horsepower thing. And I was barely making enough money to pay to get in the gate, more or less try to go out and get something that had big horsepower.
Did it go through your head like while you're on that track since you knew about prepping and stuff at this point? Like, oh, this track is crap. Maybe they should have did this. Sooner, you know,
no.
should lead water down quicker, or get with Frank and give him some shit.
No, I was no. I was thinking about, I gotta get in the next corner. You know, so, no, you ain't thinking about nothing but the next corner and the next corner, the next lap, and you got these guys with the big motors.
Right,
Steve Vaughn, he used to run out there on a half mile with us. That were on the run for.
Were we talking
Gary,
Ascot
for Gasker or Gary Sigmund's cars?
Were we talking Ascot or the Bowling?
We're talking about, right now we're still on dirt. But
did they have a motor roll, or was it pretty much you just whatever you could build?
There was no rules back then.
That's funny.
The rule was to show up with your driving suit and bring your car
and
out.
Approved helmet. That's
it was a DOT approved helmet. That was exactly what it was. But it was fun. It was what we did. You know, it was the way we went racing. But when you're getting your ass passed by a guy going 25 mile an hour faster than you, and you got your foot to the radiator.
And you're like, what the hell am I
doing
wrong?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you did. You're like, damn, I need to find some horsepower. My little resort. Well, shortly after that, because everybody would get so spread out, like, you know, on the big tracks,
sure.
Kind of like the way they do the cup cars here.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Everybody would get so spread out that they decided to put us on the quarter mile down there.
Oh, wow.
So everybody went to the quarter mile, and that was much more. That was a way better race. Oh, my God. then even the little motors, the 327 motors and the small 350s were
wow.
Like, now you're competitive, right? And I did that up until I actually got a full sponsored ride running figure eight cars.
Wow. So you went from
the half mile to the
quarter
mile
and then right into a figure eight.
Right into a figure eight car. Never ran a figure eight car. Ran a figure eight car and did really well in figure eight racing. That was...
Did anybody give you any tips out there? Like, hey, here's what you should do.
Intersection.
Yeah, slow down or speed up.
Yeah. And it was interesting about Ascot Park was both ends of the racetrack were different.
Oh, wow.
So you couldn't use your timing
at
one end to make up for the race for the intersection at the other end. So as you went down into one and two, it took you longer in one and two than it took you to get around three and four. So when you cross the intersection in front of somebody, the next lap, he was either going to be really far ahead, depending on where he was, so the guy behind him was coming,
right?
Or at the other end of the racetrack, he was going to be there when you got there because one of you had the shorter way around.
Hmm.
So if he passed in front, the next lap he may have been the guy behind. So you had to really figure racing's fun.
Did horsepower come into play on figure eight? Because you got to be able to gun through that intersection.
Not in dirt racing.
Really? Oh,
no, it was the same thing because you either had to step on the brake or you had to step on the gas.
Any tips on if Justin decides to go figure eight racing?
Look left, look left, look right. Look both ways, Justin.
Wait, you just got to –
wait, let's remind you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's
– look left, look right.
I mean, you had to be thinking about when you started doing figure eight racing, like, man – do I really want to get into this, or is that just something you just love seeing, so you wanted to do it?
I was in a full sponsored car. I didn't give a damn. I didn't pay.
That's true. That's a good point. That has a lot to do with it.
I didn't pay for nothing.
Yeah. That's how I feel when I drive the 81. Who gives a fuck?
Full sponsored. Yeah. There was nothing I paid for, and it was cool, and I did that.
Wow,
I did
cool.
That. We won the 1987 Rookie of the Year in figure eight, even though I've been running racing since 75.
Did you go after that sponsor? Or is this somebody that approached you?
No, a guy came to me and said, I want you to drive my car.
You must have been doing something good on the other dirt track.
I don't know what I did right. I don't know what I did right. I've been racing ever since I left dirt racing, and he no longer sponsored race cars, and he got out of racing. I've been reaching in my pocket with my money.
Yeah, I know.
And no one's came to me since.
So what track was that same track?
That was Ascot.
Ascot also, figure eight racing. And then how many years did you do that?
Well, I did that right up until the day they closed in 1992,
oh, no
93
kidding.
Season.
So, you're a veteran figure eight racer.
Yeah.
Do you ever go down? So you've been down to Orange Show and watched the figure eight guys race down there. And you probably know some of them.
I know almost all of them. I know all their kids because all their kids were only, you know, they were just barely
They're speaking in the Orange Show and all the places,
too. We went out to did an exhibition. We did an exhibition out in Pahrump. I mean, not Pahrump, Pearsonville. Inyo Kern Raceway outside of Mojave. We went out there, and every Thanksgiving weekend, we used to take all of our Ascot cars, and we'd go down there and take all their money. And they decided one year they were going to do an exhibition figure eight race.
Hmm.
And it was not allowed. None of the locals were allowed to run this. Only the regular figure eight guys from Ascot Park were allowed to do this. And they were just doing it as an exhibition. Well, there was one guy, in a red Chevelle, and I'll never forget the guy's car. He decided that he was going to run figure eight with us, which was a local Pearsonville Raceway guy.
Hmm.
And they red flagged everybody and stopped. We were just going around pacing. They wouldn't throw the green flag because this guy wouldn't go off the racetrack.
Wow.
But they finally decided, this guy, okay, we're going green. So they threw the green flag on us, and there was about 10 of us, 12 of us out there, and him. And we were around the racetrack, and we were racing, and we all knew what we're doing. We understand the concept of
the figure eight racing, yeah.
He didn't get it. He got me in the passenger door, wide open throttle.
No kidding.
He got me in the passenger door in the intersection and hit my Camaro. And it hit me right. I mean, he squared me up right in the door bars.
Yep.
And He hit my car so hard on the right side that it popped both left side tires, took him off the beat.
Wow.
And that's his car, the right front, was so far off the ground when he was trying to get back to the pit that the thing teeter-tottered on two tires.
Wow.
Thanks. After the race, the official told him, dude, I told you not to go out there.
Right.
His Chevelle, the front corner of the Chevelle, was his right front had to have been a foot and a half off the ground. And he's dragging it off the racetrack. So we run all these different racetracks. We've done everything.
That's pretty cool. I didn't realize you're
I've been around for a few minutes.
Seasons, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I've been around for a few. You know, they towed out here after Ascot Park closed. I towed out here to Pearsonville and ran out here. I mean, Pahrump here.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran Pahrump a couple of times out
what,
here.
What division?
Oh, they were, what are they called back then? I don't know. They were
Street stocks. Yeah, now they're super stocks today.
They're super stocks for us out here, but right. I don't know what they are.
They're super stocks.
They were street stocks for a while.
Well, the Camaros are the hobby stocks out in Pahrump.
Well, they also have.
These are full drive cars, and they were full race cars. Well, I picked my Chevelle out there and ran it out there a couple of times, and I had fun doing that. I took my family. We came up to Vegas, dropped them off over there, and went racing.
So this was before you moved up to this area. You still lived in California. Mm-hmm. You came up and raced in Pahrump. How'd you hear Pahrump? I mean,
everybody knew about Pahrump.
Really?
Yeah, you knew about Pahrump all the way to California. So
one of the local tracks that.
Everybody in Cali knew about it. I mean, everybody talked about different racetracks. That's the same as like going out to Pearsonville or going to Pahrump or going to that track up here in northern Nevada. You know, that's a long ways to go, though, you know. But that racetrack up there. So everybody who knew dirt knew where the dirt was.
Right.
You know, everybody knew where it was.
Wow. So
that was good
cool.
for me.
So then, you race Pahrump and then.
Well, then I got out of racing altogether. I took my
stock car. So that time you didn't do any asphalt racing at that time at all?
I did actually. I ran Orange Show. I ran Orange Show on the pavement only because it was just something to do.
I see.
But I got out of racing altogether in 93. I took my race car, my Camaro. I ended up finally running a Camaro, and I took my Camaro, spare engine, spare rear end, spare transmissions, trailer, and everything. I sold to a guy for $500.
Wow. And this is after you've been racing for almost 20 years.
20 years.
Wow. I mean, the lucky guy, by the way, that bought that stuff for $500.
Yeah, $500. Yeah,
no
he
kidding.
Was still running out of Bakersfield.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was still running out of Bakersfield.
A lot of these old race cars are still probably from, you know, way back then.
that was way back then.
No kidding.
I got out of racing for a couple of years, and my son Joseph got involved in karting.
The reason why you got out, you just...
There's no place left to race. I was tired of telling
them. Really? Yeah. This is before you went to Vegas.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was, you know, I had kids by then, and you know, I had my son Joe and my son Dan. It's reconnecting us now. So I do. I have Elvis Rankin. I have Jesse Love that's driven for me for the last 2 years.
Lemke also, right?
Adam Lemke. He's a... him and Jesse are both doing spectacular in their midgets and their racing. I don't think I've seen a race so far go down for Adam Lemke that he hasn't won the main event yet. Awesome there. Elvis Rankin, he's just itching to get back in a car. Apparently he's too young, so they're not letting him race right now. There's some sort of deal with USAC. They approved him, and then he bought a car, then they unapproved him. So kind of a bad deal for their family over there. He's out in New York. He'll be here for the Fall Classic weekend and run the road course. And then there's another young man out there who also runs midgets, Richie East. Joey East. He's running a midgets car. He's going to come and run one of my bandos also. So my problem right now is that Ethan's getting to be so big, I almost can't pack him in his bando anymore.
He's what, 6'1", going to be 6'2"?
No, he's about 5'7" right now.
Wow.
But last I put him in the bando just running a couple of laps on the last event that we were at,
mm-hmm.
and he was just about an inch or so short of getting in that helmet in that car. So either I'm gonna have to make a hell of an adjustment with the seat, and lay him down like he's in a flat cart, or something. But he's only got two races left in the super stock car this year he can run, because he already ran two, so he only gets four.
And you want him to run rookie of the year next year.
And I want him to
run
rookie of the year next year, so he only gets
four.
He's
done a hell of a job, I will say that.
So I got to tell you guys out there, I have talked Joseph back into my super stock car.
Wow,
just
really?
So I have talked him into running the last couple of races and the Fall Classic back in my super stock car. He's like, nah, Dad, you run it. I'm like, nope, you're going to get back in that car. And you know, he got kicked off the horse too many times. And we're going to put him back in the car.
Didn't he walk away there for a little bit after the super late model?
He did. Because he spends so much time, Joseph spends so much time dorking on everybody else's cars. He works, down at Chris Bray's shop down there. Yeah. He also worked for the Reefs. He was doing the setup for their two boys down there and working on those cars. But he has, or Rife, I'll get that last name correct eventually. But he spends so much time working on everybody else's equipment that he kind of really doesn't have time to work on his own stuff and set it up. Now, I just got an engine back from Howard at Vegas Machine that came out of the mod from last race. And that engine is sitting on my floor waiting to go back in the mod. And he said he's not going to go back in the mod. So the car that he's been driving it isn't our old car. It's actually one of the other guys' cars that were there. And one of the other guys, when we got rid of our car, he's actually won plenty of modified main events out there this season. He's in our old car. But I have talked my son back into getting back in. So Joe will be back in the car after the next two events for Ethan. So, that makes me happy as a dad. I want to see my kid back in my car. That's what makes me happy. So and while I do that, and while I'm on that subject, I'm also going to shove Ethan back in his Bando for a couple of races. So I'm actually going to put Ethan back in there so that we get I haven't been on an oval track now since middle of last year. So I've got to put Ethan back in there just so where I can get a balance and a baseline back in my thought process for Bandoleros.
Now, the original plan was to put Ethan in the bomber, in Tim's bomber, right? And
that's
then
right.
Once Tim started, doing so well this year and moving up.
That's exactly what happened. Hmm. See, Tim bought this bomber car and was going to run it a couple of times. And then Tim said, we want to put Ethan in this car as soon as he turns 14. Well, Tim Masarang started running up front and he started running, second and third of the car. And we set the car up really well. So Tim was really good and comfortable in his car. But he started running so well that he's like, oh, I'm still going to get out of it in May. I'm still going to get out of it in May. And I said, no, you're not. You're not getting out of your car. You're going to keep running that car the rest of the season. No, I got to get out of the car. And so he ended up doing well. And I talked him out of it. And I told Ethan, I'm going to put you right in Grandpa's car. You're going in right after the May 8th. He missed the cutoff. He missed the week before, and then we were off for a couple weeks and didn't go till June. So I told him, as soon as June gets here, you're going straight into the super stock car.
Really?
He has big-eyed. Really? I'm like, yeah, you're going right into that car. So what I did was we went over and changed the setup in the car, put a different set of springs in the car, and basically got the car really neutral. So I ran the car in the last event and made the car really neutral for Ethan. And as soon as he got in the car, he was quick right off. He ran 19s, then 18s, then dropped it down to the mid-17s and kept it there, then broke into a couple of 17-20s, 17-30s. So Ethan did really well with
really
that
good.
Race car.
Sure.
So.
Now, he pulled off the second last race.
He pulled off a second place win, or second place win, a second place finish in that event. So, I'm just giving him a little bit, one step at a time. When we come back out on this next break,
August 25th.
Yeah, when we come back out for that one, he's going to have a new package under the car, so he'll be a little bit better. The car will be a little bit faster. And then the 2019 season, he'll have an absolutely aggressive package under the car, and he'll have a brand new power plant. We're going to use the motor because the motor for the mod is the same motor as the super stock car.
Yep, right.
So he's going to get that motor shoved in that car for for the 2019 season, and we'll freshen up the one that's in the car now.
How's his feedback in the Superstock? Is giving good feedback on what the car's doing and how it's reacting? And
absolutely.
Like what he's,
you know, I was kind of surprised at that, to be honest with you. I mean, but then again, I'm not at some point, because
sure.
he has been, he's been around it so long.
Right.
He understands what we're talking about. He's monitored us on the radio. He's listened. He's paid attention.
Right.
I've even had him in the first few races be my spotter.
Wow, that's
so
cool. That's
yeah,
really cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah, his dad sat in the stands. His dad listened a little. I think the first race he didn't listen at all. I think the second race he did listen. Ethan is my spotter. So and he actually did an outstanding job, to the point that if I go back into my car ever, I'll have him be my spotter.
Wow, that's cool.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to want that. Going back in,
yeah, because
his
only problem is that he would talk like this.
Speak up, right? And tell him, hey, you gotta get it out there.
And I'm like on the radio going, what? I can't hear you.
That's a good problem, though, you know.
Yeah. So he was whispering, or really just talking in a low tone to me. And he had to learn to get the mic closer, and he had to learn to get his face in there and start talking, you know, at a tone that I could comprehend, because I've been around racing my whole life. I'm hard of hearing anyway.
Right. So you're talking loud, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to speak to me, at least talk to me at a pitch in which I could grasp. So he started talking to me in a new tone. And,
cool.
He did an outstanding job. And then when they were allowing radios in the first couple of races from the bomber classes, before they said no radios anymore, you know, Ethan was talking to Tim.
Wow.
So, because Ethan couldn't race anything. I mean, he could race a Bando if he wanted.
Right.
But he was done in his Bando. He was spotting for Tim for the first couple of races. So, and Tim was like,
cool.
I like this, you know. So, it was fun, you know, and I was playing with Mark Skinner. So, it was fun for that. But
well, what are you going to do with everybody else driving these race cars?
Well, to be honest with you, Mark Skinner offered me his bomber car, but I got to put a motor in it. So
that's a good deal, right?
Yeah, it's a great deal. I just spent $4,000 on a motor getting freshened up, and $3,000 on a motor. Actually, I got three new Bandu engines back.
How many cars do you got right now in your stable, I guess?
In the stable. They all feed, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I've got four Bandos in my shop and my super stock car. So I've got five
cars
in there. I had six, but Jesse Love rolled one of my cars on the road course.
Oh.
So he killed that Bando.
That's not good.
But they're like horses. They feed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have something.
And you got
them.
One set aside for Rob Street, of course. He's always a.
That Rob Street scares me. Oh.
He scares me, too. He scares all of us.
Rob Street.
Okay, we get to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Rob Street scares me. Okay, so last year I told Rob Street he could run one of my Bandos one time.
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
They were going to do a race. They were going to do a race where they were going to try to this little exhibition race between the two of them. Well, one of them didn't fit. So, okay, we won't get into that. But Rob got in the car, and Rob goes around the racetrack and about kills my Bando like the first lap. I'm like, I felt like Fred Sanford. I was back. I swear he was going to give me a heart attack.
There you go.
So he goes out there and runs. Well, I told him, I said, I'll give you a ride again this year.
Wow.
Okay. So Rob goes out and hops in the car and gets excited. He can't wait to get in the thing. But I tell him, he's up the racetrack and down the racetrack. And he was on the flat at one point, right? So I go out there and I say, hey, Rob, it's like driving on the freeway, dude. You got to stay in a lane.
the kids can listen. Why don't you listen?
don't think I did that. Because I literally sat down beside the Bando and I said, Rob, what the? Are you doing?
There he goes yelling at people again.
And I was literally yelling at Rob Street, and Rob Street's going, I don't know.
I'm having fun.
You know?
I don't know what I'm doing.
You know, so Rob Street.
In his defense, he's never been in a race car before, but
neither has an 8-year-old.
Okay, Rob. So now, are you smarter than a 5th grader?
No, he ain't. So I finally told him, I said, look, Rob, I want you to go down the straightaway as hard as you can. When you get to the corner, I want you to lift off the throttle, count to one in your head, and stick your foot back in it. I said, stay in that lane all the way around the racetrack. Okay. He could. He took his foot out of it. Like, I'm counting for him. Like, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15.
Rob couldn't count to one.
Yeah, Rob couldn't count to one. So he comes back in. That's about Friday night. He comes back in on Friday night. And I know he's got something to say earlier. I can see his ass. So Rob, because I saw Friday. I said, Saturday, I said, Rob, you gotta just only 1,001 and put your foot back in the throttle. I said, because the longer with a Bandolero, the longer you're out of the throttle, worse the car handles.
Yeah, sure.
It unloads the car completely. Yeah. It needs that load. It needs to stay down on the trace track. So you got to put your foot back all the way to the floor. Well, he started doing that, and he was actually doing much better. So I think next year he might be able to get a chance. Yeah, he might be able to finish in the top 15 of a 12 car race.
He can maybe next year.
I encourage him to take out some of the other kids.
Count to one.
Yeah, I did. I had to teach him how to count to one. 1,001, Rob. 1,001, Rob. So it was. He actually did good. He didn't. He wasn't tearing anything up this race. So
how did that whole thing come about? Was it just something that just happened to come up? Like, yeah, you know, I know.
Rob was always in the right place at the right time.
There was another person on another radio show that him and Rob wanted to do some racing.
Oh, okay.
And they were going to do this Speedway Children's Charity fundraiser.
Sure, sure.
And they were going to do some laps in our Bandol split, but he couldn't fit. He's too tall.
Right.
He's too tall. Okay. He tried to squeeze down to the Bando, and he got stuck in the he was not going to fit. But Rob fit.
Rob fit.
So
yeah,
I told Rob. Rob said,
you didn't even have to move the seat for Rob.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't. Actually,
you had to move it forward.
I did have to move the pedals.
Oh, you moved the pedals, not the seat.
Yeah,
Rob is
I set him in Ethan's car. I set him in the car Ethan had last year. I put him in the car that Jesse Love was running. Ethan was running this year in the 38, but he was in the 31 last year. But his legs are only like the size of a 3-year-old, so they're pretty short. So I had to put really long pedals in there for him. Well, that didn't work out so good for Ethan.
Wow.
Because Ethan was trying to, yeah.
That's
yeah,
not good.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So it was all right, though. But, I mean, I think Rob will do better next year. But
cool.
It was all part of a charity event, you know. So
right,
I was going to let them both run the car, but. They didn't have. They couldn't race each other.
Maybe there'll still be something, a charitable event coming up that can still be used for something like that. We'll figure something out. Rob will.
As long as you're under 5'9" and you're under.
Rob just barely made that.
I tell you what, we'll put Rob out there in the Bando and somebody else in like a super stock on the same track.
The super stock car is not going to see the Bando. That won't work.
Hey, exactly. That's the whole reason to have Rob in the Bando and somebody else in the super stock.
That's right. Yeah, you know, if you're under 5'9" and you're under about 175 pounds, you can go in a Bando. Anything above that, you're really pressing your luck to fit. Yeah, you're not going in. Yeah.
Hey, before we run out of too much time, you still got sponsors and stuff like that. You want to thank,
I wanna thank
talk
myself
about
for all the money that I work and
well,
work hard.
You know,
and
that's
myself.
A good point. A lot of people don't thank themselves to pull their own wallets out. And how much money do you spend? I mean, it's a ton. Trust me, I know.
But I do. I have Steve over at CSM Graphics.
Sure.
I couldn't ask for more. He keeps the cars pretty for us all the time.
Right.
Keeps us up. If we tear up a door or something, he'll cut me a piece of vinyl.
Wow.
Steve at CSM has been with us for 10 years or more. And then Sudden Impact Auto Body, they do keep Ethan. They've been sponsoring Ethan now since he's been involved in racing. So they've kept
okay.
his cars clean. They've painted the cars for him.
They still do framework.
If we jack up a car, we can go over there and get on his frame
pull
machine
it.
And
nice.
get it squared back up. We've been over there a few times had to get that
oh, yeah.
done. And of course my wife's peaceloveandartshop.com.
Oh, cool.
My wife makes handcrafted artwork and
okay.
jewelry, and when she sells something for $20-$30, it goes into the racing fund.
What's the website again?
It's peaceloveandartshop.com.
Peaceloveandartshop.com. Okay.
Yeah, it's on the sides of my race cars.
Okay,
and,
keep an eye out.
And she doesn't sell stuff for a whole bunch of money. She just a little bit of money, but when it does, it goes towards our racing.
Cool.
It's actually out in front still, too, because Steve Dinerston, who drives Tim's old car, the big car.
Yes.
It's still
oh,
inside
that,
of that
okay.
car to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
Still
okay.
under,
it
so.
Never. We saw. Me and Tim saw that. We were like, wow, that was fascinating that it was still there.
It's still there.
Never took it off. That's okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, keep it on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
we can't even get him to wash his car.
Yeah. Rob Street's on over here, 1001 Chuck. he's got a down pat now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a kindergartner. Here's my grandson Ethan right there. Ethan says, I went to the doctor today and he's 5'8" and a half inches tall.
So he grew half inch in the last week? No.
Since I knew Ethan, he's gotten huge.
Right.
Oh, he's in the last 2 years he's probably put on 6 or 7 inches. I mean, and gosh, 40 pounds, 45 pounds minimum. I mean, he's really grown up. My grandson.
It's all the
quickly.
Kids are the boring.
I
mean,
know.
Look at
it's
Aaron McMorris.
I know.
Little Aaron, just
not little anymore. Huh?
He's
a
little
no
more.
Yeah. Yeah. Little Aaron ran one of my bandos.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
Right.
90 seconds.
I know.
Yeah, it's been a. You know, it's. This is the round table stuff like this is what, but you know, I like this part.
Me
of it.
Too.
It's part of it.
I know we didn't get the full story, so we definitely want to have you back at some point.
I have a list of questions trying to.
Yeah,
get
we don't. We'll get to that.
Favorite radio moments. I guess being I heard the bell ring and winning a race when you're golden. My favorite one.
Cool.
I think I posted on Facebook
yeah.
right after it happened.
I didn't expect to win anything at 61, more or less, went 3 main events right here.
No more questions.
Place.
We're done. Hey,
next time.
If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you? Or just find them at the track.
That's
Chuck Digger
on here.
All right, just look for Chuck. We're at the racetrack. August 25th. Look out for Chuck. There's plenty of races coming up, and we'll talk about that next Tuesday at the end.
The late model
Also, thanks for joining us. Sorry we ran out of time. We had technical difficulties earlier. Yeah, we'll have to make up for some of that. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you live next Tuesday at allgoalsnow.com.
Thanks for listening.